Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
So in Romans chapter 9, verse 1, the Apostle Paul is writing. He says, I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying, he says. In other words, deep down in his spirit and his conscience, he's saying, listen, what I'm about to tell you is the absolute truth. I'm not making this up. It's not a lie. I'm not feeding you a line. I'm not trying to coerce you into believing something. I'm just telling you the truth. He says, my conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's not just my thought, but you know what? By the Holy Spirit of God, who is the Spirit of truth, in Him, who knows all truth and knows everything, I'm telling you the truth. Standing before the Holy Spirit, I can, in good conscience, he says, I'm telling you the truth. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Theirs is the adoption as sons. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. And he goes on. He is saying, Paul is saying, I have got such a grief in my spirit, in my heart. It's broken. It's sick. It's those who have been given so much or this rich heritage, and yet they do not believe in Jesus, the Son of God, as the Christ. He says, I would rather have myself cut off, cursed, never to have known God, be separated from God for all eternity, if all of them would just believe. What a passion. A passion for the lost. A compassion upon people who don't know Christ. Whether they're searching for Christ, or whether they don't even know they're lost, or they think they're okay, that they have it all together, and yet they don't know Christ. And understand, we use the term lost. If you're here this morning, I want to define this for you in the context of Scripture and salvation in Christ. Lost simply means that we are not in relationship with Him, and we will be lost for all eternity. Lost meaning we are separated from God. The way that we are reunited and at peace and in a right relationship with God is that He sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross. You've heard, maybe heard this message, and He paid for our sins. And if we believe upon Him, because He paid for our sins, therefore, there is no more separation between God and us. Sin hasn't separated us any longer. It was paid for by His blood. See, it was a gift to us. And Paul writes that in different places in the Scripture, that this salvation is a gift. It's a gift to me and to you. It's something God did out of His goodness. He gave His only Son to die so that sin, the demand of sin and separation from God would be met, and that we could be at peace with God and we could know Him. And that comes by believing in Jesus Christ. It says that no one goes to the Father in heaven except through Jesus, the Son of God. Listen, I know we live in a world that's big on tolerance and, you know, all paths lead to God and we hear all this kind of stuff. I'm going to tell you something. That is not what the Scripture teaches. All that can sound real nice, but it's not true. According to the Scripture, the only way to God the Father in heaven is through Jesus Christ. Period. That's it. That is it. And if you are hungry enough to get to God, then you will come to a place where God will help you and instruct you in the road that is genuinely to Him, and it's through Jesus Christ. If we come with a bent attitude and say, I'm going to get to God another way, I want you to know something. You're not going to get there. You're just not going to get there. According to the Scripture, you're not going to get there. And you could say, well, that's pretty narrow, and that's pretty... You know what? Jesus said it. It's narrow. Wide is the road that leads to destruction. Narrow is the road. Few that find it that lead to God. We have an opportunity through Jesus Christ to not be lost, but to discover He found us. He found us. He came to rescue us. And so that's what lost is. It's not, I use those terms based upon the scripture. It's not to hurt you, offend you. It's not to argue with you. It's not to try to prove you wrong. I'm just telling you what the scripture says. That's it. And so here is the Apostle Paul who says, I would rather be that, separated from God, so that all could believe. What a passion. How about that for the heart of God beating within a man? Concerned for those who are lost. Some who don't even know they're lost. They think they're found. They think they're okay. You know, I equate it to this. Because sometimes we just think we're okay. We're fine, we're together, it's all right, everything looks good, feel okay, blah, 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 blah. You don't know that you're lost. It's like going to the doctor, and you're fine, you're just going for a checkup, and all of a sudden they say, you know what, you're not fine. What? Yeah, you're not okay. You got something up, something's going on. And all of a sudden, you realize, hey, I didn't know I was sick. And that happens to people. It's the same thing that God tries to get close and say, listen, I've got a way and I want you in it. It is not to squash us and keep us out. God is continually reaching for people, and now His heart displayed with such a passion here in the Apostle Paul that says, I'd rather have myself cut off so that all others would believe. That is how he genuinely felt. What a passion for God and God's heart to beat in him to say, I would sacrifice all so that others could believe, so that others would know Christ, so others would be found or saved from the consequences of sin, eternal consequences of sin. Saved, that's what we mean by saved. Saved from the eternal consequences of sin, because that's what separates us from God. And it's not by our good works that we make it to heaven. It's because of Jesus' good works that He paid for our sin, and now we have a clean slate, we can be forgiven, and from that point forward, we do good things, not so we make heaven. We do good things because of who we believe in. What a burden and a passion, compassion, an unceasing sense of a world that's lost. You know, as Christians, we talk about missions and we talk about evangelism and we use terms like lost and saved, and we're around that talk and those ideas constantly. But every once in a while, we need to realign ourselves. You know, you need to calibrate again. You need to know where, you know, center is. You need to know where the road is. You need to know where north is. We need to calibrate ourselves. You know, I use these terms of walking through the woods and getting lost, and I'll tell you, it's great to have a compass. I've been on walks and pull out my compass, look, say, okay, that's the direction I need to head. And I get over there, and I get to that tree that I pointed out, and I get there, and I still think I'm facing the same direction, and you know what? I'm just off a little bit. And it's okay to be off a little bit until you start walking further in that direction. Because as the further you go, the further off center you get, or off north, or the direction you're supposed to be going. I'm glancing at that compass a lot. You and I, Dennis, we were on a walk not so long ago where we were trying to find a place that he stumbled on. And we were walking together. And I remember I was glad I had that compass. I was glad I had that compass for another reason, not just because it always was there and I could look at, but there were spots where his GPS wouldn't work. GPS is good, don't get me wrong. But I was glad I had the compass. Because it didn't matter where the satellites were. That compass helped me, helped us. His GPS, it helped us. We get lost. And we gotta, sometimes as Christians, we don't get lost, but you know what? We get a little off center. And I want us to be gripped this morning in our heart. And it's gotta happen by God's Spirit. It doesn't matter what I say. It's about God's Spirit behind it that grips our heart that brings change. You can hear a convincing talk. You can hear a mediocre speech. But if God's Spirit is behind it, is what makes the difference. I don't want us to be just mindful for a moment. It's that the Spirit of God has got to penetrate inside us that we can be different, not just for the moment, but when we walk out of here and we wake up tomorrow and we walk through the days of the week. And that we could be gripped again with the understanding that we are around lost people. That's not passing some kind of judgment that they're terrible and all of this. That's not it at all. Listen, there's a lot of lost people that are really nice. But they still need to understand that there's one who's looking for them that wants to find them. And it's Jesus. So that they would be saved because God loves them, God cares about them. You know, our careers, our possessions, our obligations, our hobbies, they can really distract us. And the list goes on. Sometimes we obligate ourselves to things that we really shouldn't obligate ourselves to. And we consume, and the hours of our day get filled up and it's just consumed. And we do all these things. And certainly we should, you know, have obligations and we should be responsible and we should serve and we should do. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with having hobbies. And I'll tell you what, if you can understand hobbies and recreation, sometimes within the context of, you know what, I shouldn't be doing this hobby and recreation alone. I should be doing it with somebody. Maybe somebody who doesn't know the Lord. Or with a brother or sister where we can fellowship and we can sharpen, or, you know, we can do this with a couple of other people and include somebody, invite somebody who maybe doesn't know the Lord. If we understand our hobbies and possessions and recreation in that context, it's amazing how fruitful we might become in spreading the gospel. Granted, people are being saved, but there's still people who aren't found. There's still people who are lost. I want to mention a couple things to you. Some practical steps that can help. Because we can say, you know, I want to have a heart for the lost, and we can have a heart for the lost, but we've got to create something and partner with that for a structure for it to sit on. And I want you to consider maybe just a couple of these. You know, the first place for this whole reaching out to people, you know, the first place is probably prayer, to be honest with you. You know, that we pray for people. Not just ourselves, not just our needs, not just our wants, but pray for people. People who maybe don't know the Lord. And maybe it's specific by name. It's a coworker. It's a neighbor. We begin to pray because it's like when we do that, we start to come into agreement with God's heart for people. See, God's for people. God's for people way more than maybe the church is for people at times. God is for people. And if we pray for people, we bring their name before the Lord and we pray that, God, would you break through in their life? And Lord, would you touch Nicholas? And would your Spirit stir within him? Would your Spirit just draw him? You know, I'm not going to go through this week the same once I pray for Nicholas. I'm going to be thinking about him. See, once we pray, We come into agreement with God's heart. And now it moves from just prayer to a mindfulness throughout the week. You pray for somebody that you want them to really know the Lord, for them to be saved, for them to come into faith in Christ. You pray for them, you know what? You're going to be mindful of them. When you bump into them that week, it's not just bumping into them again. You know that you prayed for them. And you become mindful and you become attentive to what they need, where they're at in life, what's happening, what's going on. You're attentive and mindful of your conversation with them. You see, it moves us to in prayer to have a heart like God and a heart for people, and it moves us to that place of being mindful throughout the day, throughout the week, and it moves us to a place where faith and action begin to go together. That as we've prayed for them and we bump into them or we didn't see them, we just make a friendly call to them. We reach out to them. We invite them somewhere. We do something with them. And it's this whole faith and action going together so that God's word and his seeds can fall into their life and they become good soil. And sometimes it's something we say, sometimes it's something we do, sometimes it's both. And it's not that you're trying to corner them and preach at them and get their back against the wall and force them to say a prayer. It's about genuinely allowing the Holy Spirit to do a work in their life. And sometimes it's dialogue, and sometimes you go further with explaining Scripture or explaining salvation because they ask, because you've built relationship with them, because you've prayed for them. You've asked God's Spirit to move, and you're expecting it. You know, it's interesting. I'm going to touch on a few different things just as examples. And these are not judgmental phrases. It's just, you know what? I want us to grasp our life and as Christians and understand where is the passion and the priority of people who are lost. You know, we can go and we can run around the woods again and we can seek and, you know, look for great, you know, big buck areas and deer runways and seek all this out and hang 10 tree stands. But we don't take 10 minutes to seek out somebody who we know who's lost. We don't take 10 minutes to pray for them. We can spend 3 hours on Facebook, but we won't stand 3 minutes and talk with somebody who's lost face to face. We can spend 5 hours a day searching out the end times and going on the internet and what's happening and clipping out newspaper articles and buying books and watching the end time videos. And all these things are good. Hanging the tree stands is fine. You know, being on Facebook is fine. Searching out end time stuff, that sounds really noble because, you know, it's Scripture and all this. And it's great to know that and we can study it and there's nothing wrong with it. But you know what? We don't take 5 minutes to make 5 calls to somebody who's going to be lost in the end times. And yet we can say we understand the order of things? What good is that? The heralded antlers on the wall, they look really nice, but I got news for you. You can't bring them with you. And it's a great moment, and there's nothing wrong with it. But where is the balance? Where's the balance in our life, in the obligations, the busyness, and all these things? You know, when we look back and we log the hours that we were on Facebook compared to the moments we tried to reach out to somebody. There's things in all of our lives that we can change. There's things in my life that I can change. The only thing that's going to help the change is if I pray and get the heart of God for lost people. Please, don't think this is a guilt trip. If you're here and you're thinking, oh, great, I can't bull hunt anymore and I'm supposed to just spend my time. No, I never said that. Oh, great, I can't be on Facebook anymore because now I... No, I didn't say that. Oh, great, I'm not supposed to search out on time. No, I didn't say that. This is not a guilt trip. It's just, it's calibrating us again. We do a lot of things, and a lot of things are good, and a lot of things are right. But in the midst of it, it can't be all of this, and we're sacrificing what's important. God's heart was to reach people, reach you, reach me, reach the people around us. And so everything should be in context. Care about people and reach people. There are so many people. Just think of the people that we know together collectively, the people we know. What a number that is. What a number that is. Some of you have lived in Sparta area all your life. The people you know who are still alive. It's not too late. The people that we can be mindful of, the people that we could call, the people we could reach out to. When's the last time, and you have to think of this in your own, when's the last time you were in the middle of something, you dropped what you were doing to give your attention to somebody who was lost? And then you can go back and pick up again. When's the last time that we looked at it as an interruption, as an opportunity? Paul just goes right to the extreme. He just says, I wish that I could be cut off, cursed, so that all others would know. I mean, that's an extreme, and I don't expect all of us to get there, for me to get there like that. But you know what? I need to start walking down that path. I need to start walking down that path. And all these other things that we do could be in the context to reach somebody. Context to reach somebody. Hey, I'm an activity-oriented person. I'd rather be doing something. I really would. Although this winter, I have done less. It's disgusting to me. But I'm an activity-based person. I like to do things. That's just kind of the way I'm wired. But I've got to remember with that, don't let it be a distraction. Rather, turn it around and let it be something positive so that I can go and do it with people. I can do it with people. And you've heard me tell the story. I'm not going to tell the story again and all these kind of things, but it was just another reminder, and I get these reminders frequently. I'm very grateful for that. But I was making a hospital visit yesterday to a man who is now, this is him and his wife, this is their home church. And he just had surgery. But they didn't start out at this church. I started out by playing golf with them. And it wasn't about getting to this church. It was about what might this opportunity lead to for the kingdom perspective, for the gospel in their life. I was just reminded again. Remember where that started? Remember the calls. Remember the times. Remember the conversations. Remember just showing that you cared and what develops. What the Lord might do. Yeah, I enjoy golf. But I do look at my golf clubs differently than I did many years ago. They're for fun and they're enjoyment. I don't have a problem with that. But it's not just about the game. Is your boat just about fishing? Is your little shopping excursion to La Crosse just about shopping? What you do, is it just about what you do? Or is it about something that can be used, this what you do be used to touch, influence, and be with somebody else? That all of a sudden, the grip and the graphite shaft and the metal head become somehow glorified because it's used to reach somebody, not just hit a stupid golf ball into the woods. That the shopping trip is not always just about a checklist and let's go shop and bum around, but I can spend time with somebody while I'm doing it. The passion and the heart for people who are lost. Starting place, we just need to start praying for them. That we become mindful and that we put in action with our prayer of faith. Through a cup of coffee, an invitation, a stopping by, a taking the long way from your cubicle to another place you got to go in the building because you know you can pass them and you can wave and you can say hi. Just taking a different route because you know that they could be there. You know what that's about. Remember back in high school? You walk a different hallway because she's there. You remember that? It wasn't the quickest way to your next class. It's so that you could look cool and pretend like you're ignoring her. You remember? Put that in context now. About wanting to reach out to somebody. We get so programmed. Here's my obligation, here's my errand, here's my checklist, here's my... to hurry up and get it all done so I can hurry up and do it all tomorrow. And the days pass by and we don't even know our neighbor. And here Paul writes, if it would matter, if this would make the difference, me being separated from God, I would do it so that all my brothers and sisters in my heritage, in my nationality, could know him, know the Lord. He said, I am in my clear conscience before the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you the truth. He said, that's how I feel. Wow. That kind of passion casts a shadow that swallows mine up. I got to get there. I got to walk there. I got to start traveling that kind of direction. So what do I need to do? What do I need to change? You got a living room? You got a deck? God gave you a house? Invite somebody over. Do something with whatever you've been given, whatever you have. Use it. Use it for the Lord. Use it for Him, for His glory, to reach somebody. You've been given this. He's given you the ability to have some of this stuff. Let this stuff finally mean something. Because you can't take it with you. So use it for influence for the gospel upon other people's lives. That's what it's for!
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.